Welcome to the Successful Athletes Podcast, presented by Trainer Road, where we interview successful athletes to make you a faster cyclist. In this case, a triathlete, because we're joined by an age group world champion, Teresa Harrison, out of Red Deer, Alberta, Canada. You just won Xterra World Championships in your age group in the female 50 to 54 division. Congrats, Teresa.
Thank you. Thanks.
It was cool to meet you. I was at the banquet, and then you were walking down from your podium where you got to hold up. I think you even got like a certificate, which is pretty sweet, and got the lays and everything else. And you recognized me. It was awesome. It was good to meet you.
Yeah. I actually walked past you because I'm really shy. And then I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure that's him. I'm going to go say hi.
Yeah. That was awesome. It was good to meet you. And on a super challenging day, we'll get into that later. Yeah. But Teresa, can you give me some background? Actually, yeah, we'll get into more of the race later. Just give me some background on your athletic career. Because clearly now in multi-sport, but how long have you done triathlon and did you do other sports before that?
Well, just in high school, I did track.
Okay.
And so I was a runner, track and cross country. And I used to bike to school on a old road bike. And that was about it. And then didn't do anything until my 30s. And then I got into triathlon like 18 years ago. And then I became a coach in 2007, and I was still competing. And then in 2011, added adventure racing into my repertoire and did four expedition adventure races, United States and Costa Rica. So I did that. And that was my first time mountain biking, was when I got into that. So it's been 10 years since I've been mountain biking. But mostly
the good 10 years right there. Best 10 years. Yeah.
It was. I really enjoy the mountain biking. And I do all distances from sprint to Ironman. Done 5 Ironmans now. Really enjoy those. But
what's your Ironman PR, just for a point of reference for full distance athletes out there?
11:31 is my best.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I've only had one race over 12 hours, and it was in Coeur d'Alene when we were, I don't know what the Fahrenheit is, but it was plus 45 degrees Celsius.
Oh my gosh. That's like
on the bike.
It's got to be like 115 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It was the highest dropout rate in Ironman history at that race. And volunteers were like getting sunstroke. And it was just over 12 hours that race though.
Oh my gosh.
Still on a hot day. It was just slogging it out, but
brutal. So, you were just more or less, I assume, like, you know, an active person that liked to do these things. And then you got into triathlon, that started hooking you more, adventure racing, doing all that. Yeah. I guess, where did your path take you to the point now where you're at Xterra? Let's fill in the gaps in between full distance Ironman and then getting to Xterra.
Yeah. So I've got some much younger male friends. Oh, when I say much younger, I guess like they're probably 8 to 10 years younger than me. And they were doing road triathlon and Xterra. And since I was on the mountain bike now, they're just like, yeah, you should do this. So yeah. So Canmore, is our local race. So I did that one and I qualified my very first time. So I got first in my age group and that was in 2014. So I came to Maui that year, and then the next year I got second in Canmore, but the girl first didn't want it. So then I got the roll down and I went again. Yeah. And then, you know, because of personal reasons, I wasn't able to race after that for a while, and then COVID hit. So, and then here we are. So
I want to talk a little bit about the three different disciplines of, so Xterra, for those that don't know as well, off-road triathlon, right? So typically swimming in a lake or an ocean or a river. So that in and of itself isn't very different from what you see in like in typical triathlon. However, in this case, it's an Olympic distance, typically the swim. Is that correct?
Yeah.
But everything changes after that, because then you get on the mountain bike and you ride on trails. And then you trail run for the run. So you've got roughly somewhere around a 40K bike, and then you've got roughly somewhere around a 10K run thereafter.
Yeah.
So depending on the course. And it's a really cool discipline, because trail running is very unique. mountain biking is very unique to cycling as well. They're very, even though it's riding and running, they're two totally different disciplines. So did Xterra, did it become a favorite of yours over the other forms of triathlon? Because even this year you did Ironman Chattanooga. Do you prefer one or the other?
I prefer Xterra for a lot of reasons. It's a little more interesting. You're a little closer to nature and the people are different. Like it's the crowd around you is just more laid back and it's just a better group to be around, I find. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, even
at world championships, it didn't feel like some sort of like fun run. That's for darn sure. but it was not the same, you know, I don't want to say something like, well, yeah, it was definitely not a road race. You go to a local criterium and it feels cutthroat, right? Whereas if you go to World Championships Xterra, it did not feel cutthroat, but very serious at that level, but certainly not, you know, elitist, not exclusive, not anything like that at all. You know, when you're in Kona, if you're just on that island during Kona, you feel nerves, that world championship, right? Like it's very intense, whereas Xterra was different. It felt much more inclusive. It's pretty cool. Yeah, my first time going to one.
Although we're all type A, it just seems like in road triathlon, everybody's type A plus.
Yes.
when you go to Ironman. And then when you go to Xterra, it's like type A minus A or something. Everybody's friendly. Like the pros will stop and chat with you. And because we're on the pre-ride, there was a pro from Spain, and at the aid station at the end of the ride, you're just all chatting and they're just very laid back. Right. So,
yeah, it's a cool sport for sure. So, let's talk about how you trained and prepared for this because you won. And first of all, was winning a surprise to you or was that something you knew you could do when you were working toward it?
I knew I was going for a podium finish.
Okay.
And being a COVID year, there was only 11 registered, so I wasn't sure how that was going to work out, and being that I wasn't running at the time, I was still going for a podium finish because I thought I could pull a run together. So, but I didn't realize how well that first place went after. So I was going for a podium for sure.
Awesome. So let's step things back then. How did you train or when did you start using Trainer Road? Because you used Trainer Road to train before this event here, but when did you start using Trainer Road?
It's about 2 years ago. Yeah.
Awesome.
And although I coach triathletes, I don't have a coach. Mm-hmm. So, and I know a lot of coaches have a coach. So this was sort of my half coach because I, at least my bike's taken care of. And then I just worry about what I put in for the run and swim and weights. So
for sure.
Yeah.
At that point, I think when you started, you were at around 160 for your FTP, right?
Yeah. It wasn't huge. So I needed to work on that.
And then with bike focused, bike specific training, you're up to the point where you're somewhere around 200 watts with your FTP. Yeah, yeah. So bravo. Nice job. Fantastic work. It's a huge percentage increase to get with that. So let's talk about, before we even get to the plans, you mentioned in like a brief story that because you kind of had a relationship with injuries and then overcoming injuries and overcoming these things.
Yeah.
Can you take me back to, I guess, let's go back to the toboggan accident that you mentioned, and then we can kind of step forward, and then that'll bring us to this year and the injury woes that you battled before this race.
Yeah. Well, even before the toboggan accident, I think every year, just pushing myself to the limit, it seems like every year you have a different injury every year and you overcome it. And I never see that injury again. Like I've never repeated an injury in my life. So
that's good.
Every year it's new.
I mean, good and bad.
I become really experienced in what to tell my athletes. So,
yeah.
So back in New Year's Eve, 2016, we were tobogganing out at my dad's farm and there's this enormous hill. And when I toboggan, I get a kind of a running start and then you flop down on your stomach on the toboggan and you just fly as fast as you can.
Sure.
But at the bottom, I don't know if you're familiar with what how swamps
yes.
are like.
Yeah.
And there's kind of like the ground sort of like moves because there's mm-hmm. water underneath. So when the cattle walk through it, they create these humps. When they mm-hmm. walk, they have a depression and then these humps. So those freeze in a, mm-hmm. in big, huge humps. So the snow was covering it and the toboggan hit one of those and I impacted my stomach. Mm-hmm. And so it flipped me up in the air and then I landed on my back and I couldn't move. So my husband knew there was something wrong. So he rushed over and then he asked my son to go tell my dad to call an ambulance. And of course, being that my son was like, I don't know, 11 at the time, he didn't really believe that. So he came down and asked, and then he went back and called the ambulance. But yeah, they took me to a local small hospital. They don't have a lot of resources there, but, and they did x-rays and there was nothing broken. So they were going to keep me for observation there overnight. And I was still in a lot of pain and they gave me a lot of fentanyl, like the maximum you would give someone. Mm. And they still didn't know what was wrong. So Rogers, my husband, said, you know, we should get her to a bigger center. Like, how can we diagnose this? And they said, well, CT scan would show, you know, what was wrong. So they mm-hmm. sent me to Red Deer and they mm-hmm. have one. So they did the scan and within 30 minutes they had me in surgery because there was, showed air in the abdomen. So they got me into surgery and I had I call it toonie because in Canada we have $2 coins.
Yeah.
So it's a,
it was like a silver dollar size for Americans. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had a hole about that size in my lower intestine, in my bowel, my large intestine. So it took them a while to find it. I was in surgery for a couple hours and they removed between 8 and 12 inches of bowel. Oof. And they took out the cecum, which is a big part for reabsorption of water and nutrients. So they took that out. So I was in the hospital for 8 days and I lost 20 pounds. Mm. And a lot of that was a lot of muscle. And then 2 months after that, I couldn't eat a lot of food because it would just go right through. So I was eating like 400 or 500 calories a day for a couple months. And
just wasting. Yeah.
Yeah. So I lost my legs were just really thin. And then didn't have a lot of muscle left. So, yeah. So then after that, then we
that
opened
has our- to, on that one really quick though, I mean, that has to still affect you, right? And your ability to be able to absorb and process glycogen when you're on the bike and food. Have you had to adjust for that?
No, actually it's interesting because I've read studies on what the cecum removal does. And it was just a study on mice. So like I'm a lab rat here.
Yeah.
But I think my body's adjusted. Like I think it's made adjustments because I find that I'm pretty healthy and I do the regular blood tests to make sure my levels are good and
awesome. Well good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. So you had that one. When did that happen again? In which year?
So that was New Year's Eve 2016, so going into 2017. And prior to that, my FTP was 200.
Mm.
And coming out of that, I could barely ride 60 to 80 watts. Like I was just...
Wow.
Yeah, I'd get on the bike and I could barely spin that and I'd be exhausted.
Starting from scratch then, really.
Yeah, yeah.
How long between that and then your next race?
Oh, I didn't race then until I lost a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I even raced till 2019. 2019 was my first race back.
2019.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the recurring thing with different injuries and everything else that you had. Did you fight injuries I guess in 2020 being the COVID year and the throwaway year for a lot of events, but did you fight injuries in the last 2 years leading up to this race as well?
None. I find I didn't train hard enough to create any injuries. So
hey, there you go.
Yeah, no injuries during that period. So that's good.
What about this year, leading into Xterra Worlds? You did Ironman Chattanooga. And did you battle injury that this year leading into that?
Well, not until I was good all year. I started strong in January, February. Everything was going good. And then my mom passed away in March. And then my training took a serious nosedive after that until the end of June. And then started ramping back in July, August, September, no injuries. Everything was good. And then we fly into Chattanooga. And then the next day, I'm feeling something in my shin and it's sore. And so I just tape it. I just thought, oh, well, maybe it's a shin splint. And then do the race. It doesn't hurt on the race, but everything else does. Like my hips and glutes and hamstrings. And but the day after the race, it was, my tibia was very, very tender. And then when I got back to Canada, they're like, yeah, you have a stress fracture, so you can't be running.
Were you doing a lot of running volume before then, or a specific type of running that you think caused it, or did you nail down the cause?
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, my physiotherapist looked at my training plan and it was ramped up nice and slow. And so we looked at different reasons, and I was on a calorie restricted diet for July and August, and I lost 18 pounds. I was fueling all my rides with calories and all my runs with calories. But in between time, I was on a 1750 to 1850 calorie diet, because I had put on a lot of weight between March and June. So he said, well, it's probably your calorie restriction that caused your bones not to heal, because that's the last thing in your body that that will take the calories. Like your brain comes first, and then your muscles and your heart, your tissue, everything else needs calories first, and then your bones are last. So I didn't eat enough.
Yeah. And that's a pretty common experience for a lot of endurance athletes. It's easy to undernourish, right?
Yeah. So then and Chattanooga was September 26th, and then Xterra is December 5th. So I had 2 months not running. And then they're like, you can't restrict calories anymore. So then I gained back 8 pounds, and I don't know if it hurt me during that race, but the not running, I'm sure, hurt my run a bit, because it was quite a bit different this year than the last two times I went to Xterra.
Sure.
Quite a bit slower.
Yeah. So leading into Ironman Chattanooga, you were following, at that point you were following the full distance tri-plan, right? And mid volume plan. So that was July to September.
Yeah.
And then thereafter you have the injury, and then you're focusing just on bike specific work, since you can't run, you can't do that stuff. So instead you're just focusing on the bike. That's when you did a blend of the mid volume sustained power build plan. And then you jumped up to high volume, leading into the event as well. And that sustained power once again, which is interesting, because I think a lot of athletes assume, oh, well, Xterra, it's mountain biking, so I should be super surgery, unlike the very consistent Ironman sort of efforts. But in the end, with the duration of the race and typically the profiles you're dealing with, it is about sustained power, right? Is that why you ended up picking it?
Yeah. And a lot of the workouts were between an hour and 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And I knew that bike course would probably be around 2 hours. And I had a lot of zone two long 4 to 5 hour rides previous. So I knew I had really good endurance, but I didn't have good sustained power being Ironman training. So yeah, that's why I picked that plan, because it just seemed like, you know, Xterra has a lot of punchy climbs and I'm going to have to hold sweet spot for a really long time.
And yeah, because so, you can't just punch the whole time. If you do that, you won't even be able to run, right? You just have to be able to keep the gas on. And that was good on that course with it because the climb was pretty darn long every lap. It was more or less one consistent, long, it's sometimes extremely steep climb that you had to deal with.
Yeah, so. the first half of the, did you ride the loop?
I did ride the loop. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first half, yeah, a lot of big climbing. And then the second half, there was two or three punchy climbs.
Yep.
Like after some flowy downhill, a little bit of technical, but a couple more climbs in there.
Yep. Yeah. Predominantly your big up and then kind of a big down with a few interruptions. So yeah, smart training with that. Can I ask what if you did any other modifications with the injury that you were dealing with leading into the race, or was it just simply cutting out the running time? Did you cut out swimming too? Or
yeah, so no, I was swimming 3 times a week, and I was strength training. I have a strength training coach twice a week. And
what sort of exercises were you doing to help with your leg?
Yeah, so he put me on something that just to help the bike, doing step ups with a lot of weight and then explosive step ups. So he would do a lot of strength squats. And then the last few sets where the weight came off, and then we do explosive. And then a lot of upper body, because mountain biking requires upper body as well. Mm. And I found that out when I first got on the bike for the first time, and my arms were like so sore. It's like, okay, yeah, I need some upper body strength now. So, yeah, 3 times a week swimming, 2 times a week strength. And with the 6 times a week on the bike, 2 were outside on the mountain bike. And then the rest were inside to get good quality intervals in.
Yeah.
Because I just found that once you go outside, you don't have, the terrain doesn't allow to have that constant interval, that push. You just don't have that same opportunity. So,
for sure. So that's a lot of training volume that you were carrying into this. Do you know roughly how many hours per week you were putting in?
Gosh. Well, from Ironman, I run by TSS.
Sure. Yeah, that works too.
Things up.
Yeah.
Ironman, I was doing 700 to 1,000 TSS a week. And then when I couldn't run but added 2 more days a week in cycling, it was still only 400 to 650 TSS a week.
But pure bike, basically.
Mostly bike, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So those are big weeks. And then you're adding strength training on top of that, and you're adding swimming on top of that too. So
yeah. So then my physiotherapist, he wouldn't let me do anything in October. But in November, I was allowed to do 2-foot hops, like on a spot. I couldn't do 1-legged hops yet because there was still pain there. So I did 2-legged hops, and then he gave me calf raises every other day, seated, and then a standing with a bent knee. I don't know why that bent knee made a difference, but yeah. So 2 different types of calf raises. And he said that should help prepare for the run.
Nice.
So I did that all of November. Yeah.
So were you concerned coming into the event about running? I mean, since that's, especially with Xterra in particular, it tends to be a pretty decisive portion of the race, right?
Yeah, I was a little concerned. but the reason why I went 6 times a week bike, because I knew that biking can compensate and help train for the run. Mm-hmm. There was a previous year back in 14 or 15, I had a SI joint issue. Oof. And I couldn't run a lot. So, and I only had run once a week, and it was always off the bike. So I was warmed up, and I would do a 5K run with 1K repeats and at hard intensity. Mm-hmm. And I went into a 70.3 that year and PB'd my half marathon with a 138 half marathon.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. It was the fastest time I ever had. And I was barely did any running. So, I knew that if I had a lot of biking going into this and then keeping my calves strengthened, and I knew I could maybe crush that run. I don't know if crush it is the right word.
Sure.
It's quite a bit slower. I was 9 minutes and 14 minutes slower than previous Xterras in Maui. So it's quite
also dumping buckets of rain. So yeah,
yeah,
it's a very different race. And let's talk about that. So you show up to the race and the swell is so big because a huge storm comes in that they cancel the swim. And instead you find out that you have like roughly like a 3K run and then you get on the bike. So how did you shift your strategy or what were your thoughts knowing that you'd have a 3K run instead of that swim?
Right. Well, first I can't swear on.
We can bleep it out. We can bleep it out.
Yeah. I was like, first I crapped my pants and then I was like, oh great. How am I going to do this? And I was like super nervous and I was already nervous because of all the muddy conditions on the bike. I was worried about, you know, just injury, like head injury or shoulder, like anything.
It was so slippery. So slippery.
Very slippery. So I was a little worried about that because the pre-ride was on Thursday was just beautiful. Like it was perfect conditions. And so, so I was a little nervous about putting together two runs and I was just thinking about how I had to pace that so I didn't destroy the whole race. So, being that I didn't have a lot of running leading up to this, I have a Theragun.
Okay. You know,
Yeah. So I warmed up with a Theragun and then, all the leg muscles, and glutes, with a Theragun first. And then I just did a 5 minute easy. And then, my pace strategy was to not run hard in the first 3K.
Yeah. Were you pacing off of another runner? Like trying not to, were you just trying to stick with the pack or just stick to your own pace that was slower than that?
Yeah. I actually started at the back. So I was in the last heat because we're old.
Experienced. Yes.
Yeah. Or it's in the sixth heat. And I started right at the back. And you can see me in the Xterra video in it just after a minute in the video, I'm at the very back. So I was just going to run my own race and I just didn't want to, I didn't want to have my breathing, too labored. I just wanted to keep it nice and steady. And on the uphill climbs, or uphill runs, I guess not climb and on the bike, but, I didn't want to load the quads and especially on the downhill, I took it very, very slow because I've done my fair share of long distance trail running at ultras. So I know what downhill running can do to the quads. And it'll just destroy the rest of your day. So on the downhill, just I let everybody pass me. Like I just took it super easy. And then, so going into the bike, my legs weren't loaded. You know what I mean? They weren't like rock solid. So yeah, I think that was the best plan because I felt pretty good after that first run. But I think I passed a couple girls, my age group, just on that run alone. The short run
before you got to the bike. Did you do anything to your equipment on the bike portion to prepare for the mud and rain?
Well, I'd had some Maxxis High Roller 2s on when
so
I came.
So pretty meaty tires, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what I like to ride here. But I had some Icons I was going to bring. And then I was looking at the weather, and then I was looking at the weight of my suitcase, and I was like, what are the chances I would actually put these on? So I left them at home. And then, so I was thankful that it wasn't good conditions. Cause I'd be like, that was the stupid mistake I ever made.
Yeah.
Not packing those tires. So, so I rode with the High Roller 2s.
Yep.
And those seemed to grip pretty good, but, I did slow down on the corners, the downhill corners with the roof.
Oh, for sure. It was so slippery. Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Yeah.
How'd you pace the bike? Because you've got kind of, once again, this long climb, but it undulates and sometimes it's really steep. Sometimes it's flat-ish even. How'd you pace the bike? Did you, you did two laps. So was your goal to go faster on the first lap, faster on the second lap, or how'd you break it down?
Well, just from experience, I don't run with power on the mountain bike. Mm-hmm. And I have a Garmin watch that just goes by heart rate, but I don't even look at my watch, only for splits. So on the pre-ride on Thursday, we went super easy. A friend of mine, she got second in her age category, Christy.
Nice.
So we went super easy that day, and it took me an hour and 9 minutes to do that, and just super slow. And so I thought, okay, so these are pretty steep, these first ones, and I'm just going to be steady. So during the race, just steady on the climbs. I didn't want to have my breathing labored, so I just relied on how I was feeling and how I was breathing. Mm-hmm. And there was one climb I couldn't help but get into that fast breathing, because it was just so brutal.
They're steep. They're over 30%, really steep sections. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It felt like it.
Yeah. yeah.
There was a lot of people that were getting off the bike, but I just stayed on. I just stayed steady and just try to, you know, keep my rhythm going up the hills. And then I passed quite a few people on the uphill. Mm-hmm. And then on the down, anytime where it was kind of like a straightaway is when I tried to pick up my pace quite a bit to save time. Cause I knew I was going to be super cautious on the downhills where there's corners and roots.
Sure.
So anytime there was like a straightaway or something that was like, there's a spot in the tree where it's kind of loamy and it wasn't slippery, and they had they had berms in there. So that was a really fast section. So I just tried to punch it harder on the slight uphill, but not too tough. And then on the slight down where there's no technical. And the first split was an hour and 15 minutes, which is quite a bit slower than the pre-ride. So I was
so muddy though. Yeah.
So, and my second split was exactly the same.
So, wow. Check that
even
out.
And it got rainier. Like it,
yes,
there were rivers running down the course.
Yeah.
But I think just because there was less people in front of me, mm-hmm. that I was able to maintain the same pace for the second lap as I did the first.
Did you feel fresh getting off the bike and into the run, or did you feel exhausted? I mean, you had that run to kick things off, so that was foreign, but you had plenty of time training on the bike leading into that. So how'd the run go?
Well, I felt fresh, like coming in on the bike. Like I felt like I had good energy. Mm-hmm. I fueled really well. I felt great, but my legs said different. Not running for a while. And then there's just an uphill like right away.
Yeah. And it's a steep climb.
I just felt terrible. Like I felt like I wasn't going anywhere, and just my legs felt really heavy. And I didn't know if that was because the amount of mud in my shoes already, or or if I was just tired, or it's because I wasn't running, you know, leading up to it. So, yeah.
And it was a tricky course too on the run because it was so slippery. Did you use were you using cross country spikes or anything like that in your shoes, or did you use standard running shoes?
Oh yeah. Both on the bike, because there was a few sections you had to get off, mm-hmm. because you'd slip on the roots. But I had really long screws in the front of my bike shoes.
Smart.
And I would pass quite a few people when everybody was walking up these hills, and I'd be like running up the hills with my bike because I had traction.
Yeah. The spikes. Smart.
Yeah. But on the run I used Salomon Speed Cross, and they've got, pretty deep traction on those. So they worked really well. And I got the new ones that just came out, and they're a little bit wider, just a little bit wider than the previous Speedcross 4. And I find it's more stability side to side on those. Awesome. So yeah, it worked really well on that course.
Did you have a pace goal for the run, or was it more just, you know, try to kind of hold on to that perception of you felt like what it was a sustainable effort?
Yeah. To not die.
Yeah. That's it.
Not die.
Yeah.
I had no pace goal. It was just to run as hard as I could when I could. Mm-hmm. And on the uphill, not go into that like zone 6 and 7, like mm-hmm. even zone 5. You know, I train by like the 7 zones.
Yeah.
But try not to dip into that high zone 5 mm-hmm. at any given time. So in previous years, I was able to run up that last final climb in the run. Mm-hmm. And this year I couldn't.
Yeah.
I just felt like I just couldn't. So I walked that.
And you weren't alone. It was that way for a lot of athletes. Did you know what place you were in on the run? Because like you said, you started in the back of that group, but then once you got up that, I'm sure even on the run, but definitely once you got on the first climb on the bike, it was so mixed. It was really hard to keep track.
Yeah. And I didn't even know how many girls started in my group. So on the first climb, on the first loop of the bike, I had passed a couple more. Mm-hmm. And so I really didn't know if there was more. Mm-hmm. I just raced. I raced almost in fear that someone would catch me or that there was more in front. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if fear is the right word, but.
Sure. Relatable. I understand that. Yep.
Yeah. Like, and especially on the run, when I was feeling like I was walking on too many uphills that were either slippery or just too steep, I always had that fear, like, don't walk. I just kept telling myself, don't walk unless you absolutely have to, because you mm-hmm. don't want someone to come up behind you and pass you and go, and then you're like, oh
yeah,
why did I walk?
Yeah.
Just so you don't want that disappointment. So I always race with the mantra of asking myself, am I doing the very best I can do right now? Mm. And so I always question that. And so I just kept running when I could, and then didn't want to blow up though. So
yeah,
the last run I ran all the downhills as hard as I could.
Yeah. Just going for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Contrary to the first run where I didn't want to do that, the last run I did, like any downhill, I just tried to run as hard as I could.
Wow. Which is tricky in all that rain and mud.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was slippery. And you did it. Like, what did it mean to win age group world championships for you? I don't know if, I mean, you've done Xterra worlds before, but what did it feel like to come down and to win?
A bit mixed. I was really excited. It's like, this is awesome. Like, I came here to podium, and at the last part of that run, I was like, I'm here to be number one. And mm-hmm. I just kept pushing hard. And if it's a COVID year, I want to win by as much as I can, just sort of to prove to myself that if there were other women here, that maybe they would have slotted in behind me as well. So, I think I was like 33 minutes ahead of second.
Wow.
Yeah. But
the time gaps were huge that day because those challenging circumstances, it takes a lot to be able to perform in those, you know, it's hard.
Yeah, I was, it was kind of a mixed feelings winning first because, again, it's like the field is small, but I wasn't able to run my best, but I ran my best that day, but I'll take it. Yeah.
You're like a lot of endurance athletes that we feel conflicted when we achieve something. And it's difficult to give ourselves credit when we achieve something huge like that. It's hard. But allow me to give you credit for what you did. You worked through injury. You did so strategically. You did things that you probably didn't want to do, like going to your physio and not being able to, you probably wanted to rush right through.
Yeah.
Yeah. You went into something that then they threw a huge thing on its head. It's like, hey, you know, the sport you haven't been training for, running? Well, guess what? Now you get to do it twice instead of swimming, which you have been able to work on.
Yeah.
And then you're dealing with crazy rain and you're dealing with like bottlenecks all over the course and slick conditions. Yeah. So, you know, it's not helpful to always to put our circumstances or our results in this context where we try to find reasons why we shouldn't give ourselves credit for it. I think you should absolutely give yourself credit for that. A challenging year to get there, a challenging year to be able to maintain focus and to do all this, not knowing if the event would go off or not, to work through injury. I'm just super impressed, Teresa. I'm impressed and inspired. Way to get it done and just to push through all that adversity and everything else that you have before it. Super impressive.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting.
Is there advice that you would share to somebody considering this past year, looking ahead and what you've been able to achieve? Is there some meaningful bit of advice that you would like to share with other athletes?
Oh, man. I don't know. It's been a crazy year with, you know, death in the family and then I don't know. It's take the time you need. Like, don't stress about what you have booked on the races. Take the time you need and then just get back at it. Definitely watch your calories. I mean the weight loss
not in the way that the world wants you to feel like, instead the other way.
I don't know, that injury sort of snuck up on me. I didn't feel it coming, but I would say be proactive on any little niggle you feel, even though like I never really felt that one coming. It was just kind of happened like right away. Mm-hmm. And just be positive and be smart with your training, like, and do what you can do. And that's probably the best I can give, like, kind of focus on your goal and what you need to achieve it in the best way you know how.
So. Awesome. Well, Teresa, thank you. If athletes want to get in touch with you, I don't know if you are on the forum or on Instagram or anything else, but what's the best way? Maybe on Facebook? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Oh, gosh. I am on Instagram. I think it's under Teresa Riche, because that was my previous name.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook as Teresa McLaren Harrison.
Cool.
Teresa. I don't know what I am on Facebook.
We'll put the link below. That way it makes it easy for you. So it'll be in the description on YouTube or the podcast, however you're listening to it.
Yeah. I should have wrote that one down.
That's all right.
Big fail on that one.
That's right. Well, Teresa, I hope to see you next year at Xterra World Championships. Well done at Chattanooga. We didn't even mention that, but you missed out on the podium narrowly by under 2 minutes. So you were close to that too. Super impressive. Thanks for showing what athletes can do when they stick their mind to things and stick through adversity. And thanks for using Trainer Road to do it. It's very cool. That's super inspiring. Yeah.
I love it.
Now, if you're listening to this and you want to share your story, you can do so. Just go to trainerroad.com/SAP. And I'd love to hear from you and hear how you've used Trainer Road to achieve some level of success. And with that, we'll talk to y'all next week. Thanks, everybody.